Picture this scenario for a second. You're sitting at their desk, going about your day, and your CEO just gets back from a massive multi-day tech conference.
Oh, I think I know exactly where this is going.
Right. They walk into the office, drop their bag, and just immediately demand, "We need AI. We need it everywhere right now."
Yep. It's a very familiar story lately.
Meanwhile, you know for a fact that half your workforce is already secretly using unapproved shadow AI tools just to get their jobs done.
Because IT hasn't given them an official safe option yet.
Exactly. And to top it all off, your Microsoft account rep is practically knocking down your door, just incredibly eager to add those shiny new Copilot licenses to your next enterprise agreement renewal.
Oh, yeah. The pressure to just flip the switch and turn it all on is absolutely immense.
It really is.
It's this perfect storm of, corporate anxiety and ambition. The desire for innovation is just colliding head-on with the fear of missing out.
And right in the middle is the IT department.
Right. Holding the keys to the kingdom and bearing all the risk.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because we actually got our hands on a March 2026 deployment guide from Technegium.
It's a really fascinating read.
It is. It's specifically targeted at enterprise IT leaders in Orange County and Los Angeles, but honestly, the lessons in here are universal for anyone touching corporate tech right now.
Absolutely.
And our mission for this deep dive is to explore a highly counterintuitive idea
Which is?
that deploying Microsoft Copilot for M365 isn't actually a technology project at all. It's a massive data governance project, just wearing a very clever disguise.
Which is a reality check a lot of organizations desperately need right now.
For sure.
The urge to rush this activation is so strong, but jumping in without doing the foundational groundwork is, well, it's a guaranteed recipe for a massive compliance disaster.
I hear that warning, I really do. But I want to start with a shiny object first, if that's okay.
Go for it.
The guide points out that 90% of early enterprise Copilot users reported significant time savings.
Numbers are impressive.
We're talking an average of 105 minutes saved per user every single week. That's nearly 2 hours of recovered productivity. So I completely understand why a CEO wants to just push the big green go button.
Oh, the productivity gains are undeniable.
All
I mean,
right.
nobody is arguing that. The danger lies in what happens the very second that big green button gets pushed.
Right.
There is a deeply alarming statistic buried in this source material. In a typical Microsoft 365 tenant, over 15% of business-critical files have excessive permissions.
15%. That is a staggering amount of vulnerable data.
It is.
And there's a quote from the guide that frames the threat perfectly. It says, "Copilot does not create data exposure problems, it reveals them."
That is the core issue right there.
I was thinking about it like this. It's like you decide to hire the world's fastest, most efficient, eager to please intern.
Okay, I like this.
But on their first day, you hand them a master key that opens every single filing cabinet in the entire building.
Including the ones they shouldn't see?
Right, including the locked HR files, the executive payroll drawers, unreleased earnings reports, just everything. And then you casually say, "Hey, go find me some background info on our Q4 restructuring."
That analogy hits the nail on the head. Because when you ask Copilot to summarize that Q4 restructuring, it doesn't just search the public intranet.
It digs deeper.
Much deeper. It aggressively indexes and surfaces every single file that specific employee technically has access to across the entire ecosystem.
Even the stuff they forgot about.
Exactly. That could include overshared SharePoint libraries from 3 years ago, or highly sensitive HR documents where a manager accidentally granted domain users read access instead of a specific team.
Oh, man.
Or restricted executive communications just floating in a poorly configured Teams channel.
And it bypasses the need to hunt for those files. It just hands the sensitive data right to the user, neatly summarized in bullet points.
What's fascinating here is the underlying logic of why this happens. Copilot doesn't possess its own secret backdoor to bypass security.
It doesn't.
No, it strictly inherits the existing Microsoft 365 permissions model. The uncomfortable truth is that those permissions have likely been broken or overly permissive for years.
But people just didn't notice.
Right. In the past, the sheer volume of corporate data acted as camouflage. No human being had the time or patience to search all that content simultaneously to find the security gaps.
And Copilot removes that camouflage instantly.
Instantly. It takes all of your historical access mistakes and makes them highly visible.
It takes the needle out of the haystack and puts it right on your desk, so you clearly cannot just buy the license and turn it on.
Oh, definitely not.
The guide outlines 5 hidden hurdles, these foundational technical prerequisites an organization must clear before they even touch the data governance piece.
Let's look at the identity and security layers first.
Yeah, prerequisite 1 heavily emphasizes Microsoft Entra ID and conditional access. And the guide stresses that multi-factor authentication is absolutely non-negotiable.
And we really need to look at how conditional access functions in this context, particularly for the regulated industries the guide mentions, like healthcare organizations dealing with IBA or financial firms under FINRA.
How does it work?
Conditional access acts as a highly intelligent bouncer at the door of your data. It doesn't just check your password. It evaluates the entire context of your login.
Like where you're logging in from.
Exactly. Are you on a compliant company-issued device? Are you connecting from an approved network IP address?
Because you don't want someone on public Wi-Fi accessing that stuff.
You simply cannot have an executive summarizing sensitive patient data or pre-release financial records while sitting on an unsecured network at a coffee shop.
That contextual awareness is vital. Then there is prerequisite 3, which mandates Exchange Online and OneDrive. It states strictly that no on-premise mailboxes are allowed.
Right, which is a big deal for older companies.
Yeah, if an enterprise is still running a legacy hybrid setup, they have to finish their cloud migration before Copilot will even function.
Yeah.
But then we hit prerequisite 2, and the guide explicitly calls this the biggest trap.
Oh, it really is a trap.
It states your Microsoft 365 apps must be on the current channel or the monthly enterprise channel. Most of our listeners know the headache of the semi-annual update channel, but wait, why does an update channel matter so much? It's essentially just a language model querying data, isn't it?
The incompatibility comes down to how rapidly the AI ecosystem evolves. Regulated organizations, banks, hospitals, large defense contractors, they despise operational surprises.
Oh, absolutely. They want stability.
To avoid surprises, they default to what Microsoft calls the semi-annual enterprise channel. They receive major feature updates only twice a year.
Okay.
Think of it like a commercial airline. Airlines do not update their flight control software while the plane is in the air.
Right. They test it relentlessly.
Relentlessly. For months in a controlled environment. But Microsoft is effectively demanding that these organizations update their software engines mid-flight every 30 days. Copilot requires the current or monthly channel because the model weights, the interface integrations, and the security patches for the AI are shifting constantly.
So to deploy Copilot, these massive risk-averse organizations are being forced to abandon their entire update philosophy.
They are. And that requires a fundamental rewrite of their change management and testing protocols.
That sounds expensive and time-consuming.
It is. The guide advises IT leaders to budget 2 to 4 entire weeks just to manage this channel transition safely.
2 to 4 weeks.
Just to ensure that a forced monthly update doesn't break critical third-party plugins or legacy macros that the business relies on.
2 to 4 weeks just to change the cadence of software updates? That's wild. And we haven't even touched prerequisites 4 and 5, which cover cloud-deployed network requirements and the actual licensing budget.
The budget aspect is a massive wake-up call.
It really is. Copilot itself is an extra $30 per user per month. But on top of that, the guide notes an upcoming base subscription price increase in July 2026.
Yeah, brace yourself for this one.
The E3 license is jumping from $36 to $39, and E5 is going from $57 to $60 a month.
The financial pressure those hikes create is just immense. If an IT director is deploying this to 1,000 users, they are looking at $360,000 a year just for the Copilot add-on.
Plus tens of thousands more in baseline license increases.
Exactly.
Yes.
And when the capital expenditure is that high, the CFO is going to demand immediate measurable returns.
Which makes the quality of the tool's output critical. You can't justify that spend if the AI is returning garbage.
No, you can't.
So let's look at the actual data Copilot will be pulling from. The guide outlines a mandatory pre-activation data hygiene mandate.
This step right here separates the successful deployments from the public relations nightmares.
The required cleanup steps are extensive. You have to audit your SharePoint permissions, which addresses that 15% overexposure risk we discussed earlier. And you have to deploy Microsoft Purview sensitivity labels. The guide specifically advises keeping these labels incredibly simple, a maximum of 3 to 5 categories to avoid employee friction.
We have to look at how Purview labels actually function to understand why that advice is so critical. A Purview label is essentially a persistent digital stamp.
Like a watermark?
Sort of, but it travels with a document, regardless of where that document is moved or emailed. and Copilot inherently respects those stamps.
Oh, that's smart.
If a file is stamped highly confidential, Copilot will not summarize it for a user who lacks that clearance, even if the file was accidentally dropped into a public company-wide folder.
That's a great safety net.
It is.
Yeah.
But the human psychology of applying those stamps is the real bottleneck.
Because if you give employees 20 highly nuanced security classifications to choose from every time they click save, cognitive overload kicks in.
Exactly. They'll just select the default public option to get back to their workflow, or they'll try to bypass the system entirely.
Which defeats the whole purpose.
Right. Limiting it to categories like public, internal, and highly confidential gives users a framework they can actually process and adhere to consistently.
Makes sense. The guide also mandates configuring data loss prevention, or DLP, policies as a perimeter fence.
Essential step.
And utilizing restricted SharePoint search as a temporary safety net to limit Copilot's reach to approved sites while IT cleans up the rest of the environment.
Which they will need time to do.
But here's where it gets really interesting for me. The guide emphasizes stale content cleanup. It specifically calls out that an old 2019 draft document can cause AI hallucinations.
We have to consider how a large language model determines truth. It doesn't possess inherent human context.
Right, it doesn't know what year it is.
Exactly. It determines relevance based heavily on semantic similarity to the user's prompt. So if an employee asks Copilot to summarize the company's remote work policy, and there is an abandoned draft from 2019 sitting in a forgotten SharePoint subfolder that is full of incredibly restrictive, outdated rules, the LLM will see that document.
It sees a file titled Remote Work Rules, packed with relevant keywords, and it just assumes it holds the answer.
Completely oblivious to the fact that it was superseded by the actual 2026 policy located in a different directory.
Wow.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, aggressive stale content cleanup isn't just about freeing up server storage space. It is the sole mechanism for ensuring Copilot surfaces relevant, factual information rather than combining conflicting graphs into a confusing hallucination.
I see the logic, but honestly, the scale of that task feels impossible.
It's daunting for sure.
Auditing permissions, applying purview labels, configuring DLP, and purging years of stale content across a massive enterprise. Isn't a pre-deployment audit for a massive enterprise impossibly overwhelming?
It's extremely difficult.
It sounds like trying to clean out the company garage, but the garage is the size of Rhode Island, and everyone in the company has been throwing boxes into it for a decade.
That's a great way to picture it. But the difficulty of the task does not negate its necessity. Organizations that attempt to bypass this hygiene phase rely entirely on hope as a security strategy.
And hope isn't a strategy.
No. The cleanup requires automated classification tools, rigid archival policies, and significant dedicated manpower. There is simply no shortcut.
All right, let's assume an organization commits to the cleanup. The technical hurdles are cleared, the identity protocols are locked in, and the data is secured and labeled.
They're ready to go.
Now they have to actually introduce this incredibly powerful tool to the workforce. The guide lays out a highly structured 10 to 16 week blueprint for a phased rollout.
This is where the human element comes in.
Phase one covers weeks 1 through 4. This is a pilot program restricted to just 6 to 25 power users.
Very small group.
The guide suggests roles like executive assistants, marketing managers, or financial analysts. And the explicit goal is establishing a baseline ROI, trying to actually capture those 105 minutes of weekly time savings.
Starting small allows the organization to define what success actually looks like in their specific environment.
Right.
They need to observe how an executive assistant prompts the AI to manage complex scheduling, or how an analyst uses it to synthesize quarterly reports. They use these small wins to build standard operating procedures.
Then phase two spans weeks 4 through 10. This is the department expansion phase. The strategy here relies on Copilot champions offering peer support.
Peer support is huge.
Paired with short 15 to 30 minute workflow specific trainings, they heavily emphasize avoiding generic, here's how an LLM works, seminars.
Because a generic overview doesn't change behavior. Staring at a blank chat interface is intimidating for a non-technical employee.
It really is.
You have to sit down with the logistics coordinator and show them the exact sequence of prompts required to pull shipping data from their specific Excel templates. Workflow-specific training bridges the gap between theoretical AI and daily utility.
Finally, phase three covers weeks 10 through 16. This is the enterprise-wide deployment where IT monitors usage dashboards to identify which departments are failing to engage with the tool.
Right.
But I want to challenge this entire selective phased approach for a moment. I understand the pilot phase for testing, but once it is stable, why restrict the licenses based on roles?
Okay, let's hear it.
Even if a junior administrative assistant only saves 15 minutes a day drafting polite emails, that is still over an hour a week of recovered time.
True.
Doesn't that productivity gain easily pay for a $30 monthly license? Why gatekeep the technology?
That assumes the 15 minutes of drafting time is pure profit, which ignores the reality of task switching and verification.
What do you mean?
If a user only generates simple emails, they often spend more time prompting the AI and reviewing the output for hallucinations than they would have spent just typing the email themselves.
Oh, I see.
The guide enforces role-based license allocation because ROI is not distributed evenly across a company.
So the sunk cost of the license outweighs the minor convenience for certain roles.
It is a matter of capital leverage. Administrative or purely operational roles with minimal document creation workflows simply do not possess the necessary leverage to justify the recurring cost.
That makes sense.
Contrast that with executives, market researchers, or legal analysts who spend half their day synthesizing dense information. You deploy the licenses where the tool can fundamentally alter the speed of the workflow, not just add a minor convenience.
You don't hand a high-end excavator to the employee sweeping the sidewalk. You give it to the team digging the foundation.
Exactly. The economics demand a targeted approach.
So an organization executes this meticulously planned 16-week role-based rollout. Their permissions are audited, their data is hygienic, and their power users are driving massive ROI.
They're doing everything right.
But technology in this space is moving at light speed. And this is where the guide introduces a ticking clock that completely changes the stakes of our entire conversation.
The Wave 3 announcements.
Yes, the March 2026 announcements for Copilot Wave 3.
The transition from Wave 2 to Wave 3 represents a monumental paradigm shift in how enterprise AI functions. We are moving away from a conversational assistant.
A tool that waits passively for a human to ask it a question.
Right, to an autonomous agent platform.
The guide highlights three major components of this shift. First is Copilot Cowork. This is defined as autonomous AI capable of executing multi-step workflows across your environment without continuous human prompting.
That's a massive leap.
Second is multi-model intelligence. The system will automatically route tasks between different AI models. For example, it might leverage OpenAI for general drafting and then seamlessly switch to Anthropic's Claude to handle complex financial modeling or legal reasoning.
That routing capability is profound. It means the system is dynamically evaluating the nature of your request and selecting the optimal cognitive engine to process it entirely behind the scenes.
And the third announcement is Agent 365 for centralized governance, bundled into a new licensing tier called the M365 E7 Frontier Suite,
which consolidates these advanced features for $99 per user per month.
So what does this all mean? The leap from conversational prompts to autonomous workflows. We are crossing the line from an AI that generates text to an AI that can actually click send, schedule, or approve on our behalf. It's like upgrading from a smart calculator to a self-driving employee.
This raises a very important question regarding risk. If an organization thought data governance was tedious when the AI was merely generating summaries for humans to review, how critical does that governance become when the AI is taking independent actions based on that data?
The risk profile changes completely. The margin for error just vanishes.
And that is the ultimate warning of the Technigene Guide. The organizations that succumb to CEO pressure today, the ones who rush their basic Copilot deployment, skip the permissions audits, and ignore the stale content cleanup just to appease the board.
They're walking into a trap.
They're walking blindly into a trap. Mm-hmm. Because when Wave 3 fully deploys and they want to enable these autonomous agents to stay competitive, they will be entirely paralyzed.
Or worse.
Or worse, they will activate them. And those autonomous agents will begin executing complex workflows across a messy, uncontrolled, overshared data environment.
I can just picture it. A user might ask their Copilot Cowork agent to compile a performance review packet and send it to the department head.
Right.
But because the SharePoint permissions were never audited, the agent pulls in a restricted peer review document, synthesizes it, and emails highly confidential feedback across the company without a human ever vetting the attachment.
The remediation for a disaster of that scale would be catastrophic. The guide makes it unequivocally clear. the data governance infrastructure an organization builds for the basic conversational. Copilot today is the exact same foundation required to control Copilot, Cowork, and Agent 365 tomorrow.
You cannot bolt security onto an autonomous agent after the fact.
You really can't.
To bring this bit together for you listening, whether you are an IT director in Los Angeles actively fighting for budget to run a permissions audit, or you're an end user who is about to get handed a shiny new Copilot license, understanding this fundamental truth changes everything.
The truth that AI deployment is entirely a data governance project.
Yes, it should completely alter how you interact with your company's information. Every file you share, every folder permission you vaguely grant to domain users, every outdated 2019 draft you leave sitting on a shared drive.
You are actively constructing the reality that your AI will learn from.
And eventually act upon independently.
It demands a completely elevated standard of digital hygiene from every single employee. The era of treating corporate data repositories like a massive, unorganized digital junk drawer is over.
The stakes are simply too high.
They really are.
And that leads to a final thought I want to leave you with today, something to seriously mull over as you look at your own digital footprint. We established that the basic Copilot will happily surface a totally overshared, highly restrictive draft document from 2019 and present it to a user as factual company policy.
Yes, we know it does that.
And we now know that Wave 3 introduces autonomous agents, like Copilot Cowork, that can execute multi-step operations without a human continually validating their steps. So what happens when an autonomous AI agent decides to execute a workflow, perhaps automatically drafting and sending a sensitive client communication, or scheduling out the budget for an entire project phase based entirely on a highly confidential, totally outdated draft document it was never supposed to have access to in the first place?
It is a scenario that should keep any executive awake at night.
Clean up those old folders, everyone. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.